Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my Thunder God friend, Frank. How are you today?
I'm good. I was kind of hoping you'd say friend from work, but that's fine.
Damn it!
Damn it! He's a friend from work.
I actually had multiple ones, and I went with really? I literally went with the most boring one I could think of.
I don't know. I like being a thunder god. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
I'm not the god of hammers. That's for damn sure.
Okay. I could. Welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my friend who turned himself to a snake and then stabbed me. Frank,
nice.
How are you?
All right. That's good too. I like that too. Yeah.
Good.
I'm doing well. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Just
good,
fine.
Good. Oh, so good to be here.
What Asgardian ale are you drinking?
Asgardian ale. Someone should make that. That's a great idea, Asgardian Ale. I am drinking the Elaborate Metaphor American Pale Ale from the Burlington Beer Company. Or is it Burlington Brewery? Burlington Beer Company, yes. I went to Burlington, Vermont a few weeks ago and picked up a six-pack at their brewery, and it was delicious.
Wonderful.
It's great.
Very
American
good.
American Pale Ale.
I like that can. It's very
cool. Isn't it cool?
It looks like the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, yes. It does.
You did that not on purpose.
No, but it works, actually.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. I'm drinking an Allagash White. It's delicious. It's good to go.
Old Faithful.
Yes,
indeed. I love a good Allagash
indeed.
White.
Indeed. And it wasn't in the mood for anything quite heavy, but I still wanted a beer. And
sure.
There it is.
I should have given you that in my... I have an Allagash White glass.
Oh,
I
really?
I always like when I can drink a beer in the matching glass.
Me too.
I have a thing for that.
I don't have many, but...
I don't have many. I only have like two or three maybe that are like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's fun when you can do it.
Cool. It is. Frank, we both saw Thor Ragnarok recently. And I'm going to say that it was the worst movie I've ever seen. Thor the Dark World was way better.
BS.
Yeah, total BS.
This was the best Thor movie easily.
Sure.
I mean, better than the first one. Definitely better than the second one because I really didn't care for the second one at all. Mm-hmm. But I really do enjoy the first one quite a bit. And I thought this was way better than that even. Like, this was such a fun movie. What'd you think?
I agree. I also think this was a fun movie. I think our friend / listener, sometimes guest, Damon, said it right to us when he said, 20 minutes in and I had gotten everything that I ever wanted out of a Thor movie, and I still had an hour and 50 minutes to go, which was awesome.
That's right. Yeah.
That's exactly right. When he's being chased by, after talking to Solter, and then he's being chased by a giant dragon in Muspelheim, I was like, yeah, great. This is literally all I've ever wanted from a Thor film.
Yes.
And I got it in 20 minutes.
It was so much adventure. It was so much fun.
It was high adventure. It was just fun. It was an 80s movie.
It was like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Yes. It was an 80s movie with 21st century effects.
Yep. Pretty much.
It's fantastic.
And some actually 80s effects. So like a lot of like the Doctor Strange stuff was done in camera.
That's right, which was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I love that. Taika Waititi is an amazing filmmaker.
One of my favorite directors.
So great.
Has not steered me wrong before.
So great.
Steam continues to be great.
I'm so glad they took saying they took a chance on him is a little like demeaning. I don't mean it that way. I mean
take
like
a chance on me.
Take a chance. I'm really glad they did that because he deserved it and he pulled out this amazing treasure of a movie.
Right.
He created this super fun thing. It's in the Marvel Universe, ties back to the past movies, sets up the future movies, but it still has this indie humor sensibility to it. It's
right.
So great.
But it also still feels like a Marvel film, which is important, but not, it doesn't feel necessarily like the Marvel formula
right.
in the strictest fashion, but it all still plays together. I've seen a few people saying that, like, oh, I wish we had gotten a Thor like this from the very beginning. But I think you need the first two Thor films to be able to do something like
this. I agree. Because there are, someone could argue that, like, this seems like a departure for Thor, the character of Thor. Like, he's not as...
It's not really, though.
It is only in that he's taken on so many human characteristics, right?
Right.
You need the buildup, though.
Oh, yeah.
To earn that, is what I'm saying.
Right.
It wouldn't have felt earned on the first time out.
Well, because the first story is a fish out of water.
Right.
Right? And then the second film is more traditional action, or, like, I guess Jane's the fish out of water, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
But there's more, you know, traditional, you know, cosmic Thor, I guess.
Yeah.
Or I guess, like, Viking Thor in some way.
Viking god.
Cosmic Thor. Viking, yeah, Thor. Yeah. I don't see, but that's the problem with Dark World. People are like, it's a thing. It's not. I don't think it's a bad movie.
No.
It's just, it's fine.
It's fine.
Like Incredible Hulk or something like that. It's
fine.
Yeah,
it's just blah. It's a little blah.
It's just
for
blah.
Me. I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater, to be fair.
There are some parts of it that are quite good.
I don't remember those
so,
parts,
the, some of the Loki
but
stuff
believe,
is really good. Yeah. The death of Frigga is very good.
Oh, yeah.
Her funeral particularly is quite touching.
Right,
you know,
right.
So there's some good stuff in there.
There are good parts, yes. Yes.
When he hangs up Mjolnir on the little coat rack, stuff like that. But none of those films, like, they still trying to give you a Thor that was, like, grounded, for lack of a better term.
Sure,
you know what
sure.
I mean? They didn't want to get, you know, like, they're the dark elves, but they're actually aliens, you know, with a big spaceship. This is like, look, it's Hela, the goddess of death.
Right.
And, like, a part of the story of this is the Grand Master continually calls Thor the Lord of Thunder.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying, no, I'm the
God of Thunder. Yeah.
He's literally the God of Thunder.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like, in this Marvel universe, they are, I guess, aliens, but I guess they're always aliens. They don't call them that.
Right.
But
yeah, but they kind of always are.
They're kind of always aliens.
It's the first time I can remember them referring to Asgard as a planet and not, like, a realm, you know?
Right.
They actually called it a planet a couple of times.
In here, yeah, because it is a planet.
It is, but it's the first time I can remember them in this universe actually saying
sure. I mean, it's a flat planet that's kind of floating in space.
Yeah, that you...
It's not really... It's like a... It's kind of like a... It's weird, like Oasis. It's
it is
a flat planet because like the ocean or the water goes into nothing.
That's one of those things though with Taika Waititi where he said, like, I'm not really I didn't really have all the history.
He read one Thor comic book.
Not even a trade, like just like, issue.
A 22 floppy comic book. And he said, well, not doing that.
Yeah. So he didn't care, which would normally worry me. But because he has such a good grasp on storytelling,
sure,
I was okay with it.
Right. I don't think you have to be a fan to make a good comic book film. Like, James Mangold isn't a comic fan.
I don't think
Logan
you have
is
to.
A great film.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you have to.
You have to understand characters.
I think you have to understand the characters, yeah. And usually, not always, but usually being a fan translates to understanding those characters.
Sometimes it gets in the way. Because then it's what your version of the character is, what you it's the Zack Snyder problem. My favorite Batman is the Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Right,
so that's the
so
one
that's
I'm going to
make.
Right. So then the problem with that is that's not a general Batman. That's
right.
A specific Batman for a specific story.
But then you have on the flip side, you have like Mario Puzo writing the original screenplay for Superman the movie and being like, oh, this is a great tragedy. And it's like, no, Superman's not a tragedy. What are you talking? What?
Right.
What are you talking about? There's nothing tragic about this. Like,
well, I mean, his family's dead.
Yeah, but it's not. But he's not a tragic character.
No, he's not.
Right.
Right.
So like, that's the thing is you can, yes, there's something there to support the idea of it being a tragedy, but that's, he was incorrect. And I think in many people's estimation, including mine. So it helps when they're a fan because it avoids that misunderstanding sometimes.
Sure.
But Taika Waititi is the odd exception, I think, where not being a fan helps you bring something fresh and needed.
That's correct. Yeah.
In a really good way.
Because he still understands what makes these characters.
He understands what makes them tick. Yeah.
I was actually nervous about that going into this film because a lot of the reviews ahead of time and all stuff like, oh, it's Marvel's first real comedy, which I argue against. I think Guardians is their first real comedy.
I
like,
agree with
Guardians
you.
Is not really an action movie. It has action
it
and whatever, but it's really their first comedy.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, so it's like, it's this, and like anything that you kind of see, you'd see some like Thor-ish things, but I was really curious, like, would the characters still act like the characters that we know? And they do.
They do.
And, And that's what I, which, you know, they're a little looser, you know, a little,
yeah,
you know, like, you know, they've loosened up a little bit. But people have pointed out, you know, like, Thor has spent time on Earth, you know, with the Avengers, with Jane, whatever. So he has taken some of those qualities upon himself,
exactly.
which makes sense. I mean, he would do that. I mean, like, in the comics, he used to speak in thous and arts and,
right,
you know, and he doesn't do that anymore.
Right.
Because he's taken qualities of, well, writers, I guess. But,
sure.
But he's taken qualities of the people he spent most of his time with, mm-hmm. you know, and he's adapted and changed, arguably for the better.
Right. Right. Yeah. I agree. I think that is a really great thing that that we get because we had two Thor movies and three other movies that he's appeared mm-hmm. in, right?
Two Avengers films, Doctor Strange tag.
Yeah.
And three Thor films.
Oh, right, because he wasn't in Civil War.
Right.
I always forget that. Yeah, so he's been in a handful of movies now. So over that time, over the 5 years or so since mm-hmm. the first Thor came out, 6 years, we've seen him grow quite a bit as a person. And he's
right.
gone on a journey. Right. So it makes sense that now he'd be a little bit different. On paper,
mm-hmm.
this movie, I should not have enjoyed this movie because it has all the things that I don't like in my superhero movies.
Right.
It has a director who is not really a fan, and so that's iffy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stripped down, quote unquote, stripped down version sure. of the character
mm-hmm.
where they take away everything, basically everything that kind of makes him who he is in a lot of ways.
Sure.
They took away Mjolnir, right?
Yep.
They took away the hair even.
Yep.
They took away his dad from him in like two different ways.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And physically his dad died. And also he found out his dad was a warlord, not a peacekeeper.
Right.
All these things got taken away from him. Even his planet got taken away from him. Everything.
Yeah.
He's left with like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed any Thor movie.
Right. Well, I think, but see, that's why I think like to compare it to the Logan, I think that's why people enjoyed Logan so much because here's this character that like you recognize the character. It's an authentic version of the representation of that character, and you stripped away everything that makes that character that thing, you know, or even like Professor X in Logan or whatever. There's no mansion,
sure.
there's no X-Men,
right?
Like
right.
his mind's not completely there, but it's some of the most authentic,
so true.
Storytelling because the character is now Thor is now relatable in
yeah,
some sense,
true.
And it's an interesting place to take the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know. It's going to sound terrible the way that I'm going to say this, but refugees are in right now, you know, like,
okay, I get what you're saying.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like
yeah.
it's an
underdog story.
It's not just an underdog story, but it's a topical story.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You
yes.
know,
uh-huh.
And then on top of that, you know, Thor, two Thor films is about him. First film is about him wanting the throne and not being worthy.
Right.
The second film is about him rejecting the throne and I guess being worthy of it, but rejecting it. And then the third film is about him accepting the throne under the dire circumstances. You know, like he actually has completed his journey.
Right. Right.
And so as you know, because Thor in a lot of ways is a kind of refugee character, right? He is exiled from his home by his father. And he is forced to learn a lesson in a foreign land. And then he returns back to that land to protect it, a changed, different person, but then ultimately decides to continue to live in that land he was originally exiled in at the end of Thor: The Dark World.
Sure.
And it's only in Age of Ultron that he's like, oh, I have to go find these Infinity Stones. But he doesn't necessarily say, like, I got to go back and live on Asgard. I just have to go find Infinity Stones.
Right, right.
Which I like how quickly Taika, like dismisses that story.
Just wipes that away.
It's like, didn't find any. Good.
Yep, yeah.
Like, moving on. And and then so Thor accepting, like, his kingship when Asgard is of the people and not a place
yes.
is exactly what Thor should do because Thor's job is the protector of the people.
Yes.
That is what he does.
Yes.
He
yes.
protects people. Even when he was on Asgard,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't protect them as their king on a golden throne, but he protects them by not having any throne.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has a swivelly chair on a spaceship.
Right.
He has the captain's chair.
He's the captain's chair.
Yeah.
I think that's... I think this is one of those, I often get nervous when I hear the idea of we're going to strip down this character to its essence or to its core.
Well, that's why I didn't like Iron Man 3.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I the reason that makes me nervous is because it's much easier to do that wrong than it is to do that right.
Sure.
You have to,
Iron Man 3.
You have to get the character exactly right in that case. If you're stripping it down, you're kind of taking off the training wheels.
Right.
And there's nothing hiding the fact that you maybe got something wrong. So if you got it leaving a little wrong, it's going to be much more obvious with nothing hiding it. But if you get it very right and you strip it down, it can be the most sublime version of that character if you do it right. And in this case, they nailed it. In Logan's case, they nailed it. This is a really, really great example. If they keep making movies like this where they quote unquote strip down a character and do it right, the stigma for me of being like, oh, they're saying they're stripping it down, that means I'm not going to like it, that stigma will be gone if they keep doing this
wrong. I agree. Although the third act of these trilogy films for Marvel are
Hashtag third act problems.
No.
Is
yes.
that where you're going?
No, not at all, actually. Not at all, because this is the third trilogy film so far.
Cap, Iron Man,
and Thor. And so if you look at the Iron Man movies, you've got one really strong movie, one weak movie, and one movie I don't think is great at all.
Okay, yeah.
So Iron Man 1, and I think they go in that order. Yeah. I really don't like Iron Man 3. I've talked about this before.
Yeah, you
on the
have.
Show.
Yeah, yeah.
There are elements of it that I think are very good. Yeah. Most of it I don't like.
I can't decide if I like 2 or 3 less. I know you've often said rewatch 2 because it's better
than
you remember.
I like 2. 2's fine. It's better than you remember because the world is so built around it now that it doesn't feel stuffed anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know everyone in that movie.
Sure.
You know, you've seen them in multiple films.
Right.
Except for the villains, really. And even then, you've seen Justin Hammer in a short film.
That's
probably.
True. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And he's mentioned multiple times in other films. So it doesn't feel as bad anymore, I guess. But then you have Cap, which is building up the soldier and then stripping down the soldier aspect of him and then stripping down even the superhero side of Cap. So Cap's movies, there's only one where he's built to be the hero, and then two, or the super, you know, hero, I guess, the captain part of him, and then it's always a stripping down of that character. Mm-hmm. That's what those films do. And so they've already done that film. They've already done that stripped down version correctly, arguably twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that.
And then these third act movies of the trilogies are. They're always like a take a chance film. You know, Captain America is an Avengers movie,
basically
told through the perspective of Captain America.
Right.
And then in Iron Man 3 he doesn't wear the suit most of the time.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have any suits. That's part of the point of the film.
Sure.
And then so Thor, what makes Thor, the hammer, Asgard, whatever, you take that away because the power was in you all along.
Right.
Just like Asgard is in you all along.
Right.
It's the two, they're two things together.
Yep, I see that.
And so like you're saying, the stripped down thing, you are happy about if they keep that trend, but you've actually already seen, this is the third time you've seen it.
I guess that's true. I didn't really think of it that way, but you are right. They have done it a few times already.
Well, I think about these things too much, Frank.
You think about them, and I get to benefit from you thinking about them, and so do all our listeners. So
there you go.
I think that's pretty great.
There you go. Yeah.
Enjoy that. The look on your face is so like, yeah, well, it's...
Yeah, actually, I was just scratching my head, but you know, I'm a little embarrassed and humbled at the same time. You know?
I think it's great. Let's talk Hulk.
Sure.
I like it. This was like a backdoor Hulk movie.
Good idea.
I mean, he was in like 60% of it.
Yeah,
like more than half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good estimation.
A little more than half. He was very important to it.
He was. I think actually it's funny because if you took Thor out and put in another character,
Thor or Hulk?
I mean, if you took Hulk out and put in another character, I think it would have worked fine. Like, Like, you could have put in Beta Ray Bill, which is a Thor character.
Which they were talking about, too.
Yep. You could have put in Silver Surfer, if they had the rights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but...
You could have... Like, this was almost a Doctor Strange and Thor buddy movie instead of a Hulk and Thor buddy movie.
That'd be neat, actually.
Which would have been super cool. But I think, like, what Hulk adds to the film is more character-driven than plot-driven. Apart from... Like, because anybody could technically be the... like ruling combatant of Sakaar.
Sure.
And then after that, Thor doesn't necessarily have like a key moment apart from fighting Fenris, or, you know, the wolf, or Fenris?
I think Fenris.
Fenris, yeah.
I think so.
So it could have been, I think, another character. I'm not saying that's a negative. I loved Hulk in this movie.
Yeah.
Hulk works best when paired with somebody else.
I agree. I think he is best as part of a team, mm-hmm. or part of a duo.
Right. And that allowed Taika Waititi actually fun to kind of break down or make fun of other elements of things like sun's getting real low.
I
was crying in my seat for whatever reason, hate that in Age of Ultron. Like, it's just so dumb to me. Not the idea of, like, calming Hulk down, but, like, just that the way phrase. It's phrased and done. Like, it's just...
That's a very Joss Whedon type of thing overly poetic.
Yes.
And I'm a huge Joss fan, but...
Yeah.
But it's like, an overly, over-the-top sort of poetic thing.
Yeah.
That is, like, oh, it's so profound. But is it really? Like, it's a little silly.
It's
a little
super corny. Silly.
Yeah.
And so to have Thor being like... Well, I guess we'll try it.
What is it, like, the sun is setting or something? He doesn't even say it right.
Yeah, right.
He says wrong. The sun's going down.
Does he say it wrong?
I thought he said it wrong.
I thought he said it correctly.
Oh, maybe.
Sun's getting real low. That's what the...
I don't think he said real low.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to... Well, I'm going to definitely watch it
again.
You're going to
see it again. that was great. That was really great. The first time he did it, I actually didn't click. The second time.
Oh,
and everyone
sure.
started laughing around me, and I was like, why is that? Why is everyone laughing? And the second time, for whatever reason, then it clicked. That was funny.
I like that he tries it a few times,
I know.
Like,
let's see how this works.
Yeah. Didn't work then. We'll try it again.
Like, it's an incantation, and he has to say it right, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was great. Point Break was great.
That was a great callback.
That was a subtle pullback.
Yeah.
That was subtle.
Yeah. That Strongest Avenger, no. Like, but Hulk is Strongest Avenger.
Yeah, of course he is.
Hulk is strongest there is.
Yeah.
I liked some of the Banner. I like some of Banner's storyline. This idea that, like, if I turn back into the Hulk, I'll never be Bruce Banner again.
Yeah,
me who has 7 PhDs or whatever he has.
Yeah, you know,
this planet is designed to stress me out.
Yeah.
I kind of liked this, like, doting Banner. I guess almost. He's because one of my favorite things that Ruffalo has ever done as Banner is. In the first Avengers, when Black Widow and I almost called him Captain Rogers, when Captain America or Steve Rogers is standing on the helipad before, or the what's that called?
Helicarrier.
Thanks. Before it lifts into the air,
yeah.
And they like look at Banner, and he's kind of wringing his hands, and steps in somebody's way, and he's like, I don't know what to do with myself.
Like the super mild mannered, like bumbling type of
almost
Banner thing.
Almost bumbling, but not in a, Chris Reeve Clark Kent kind of way.
No, not exactly.
But almost just like, I'm uncomfortable because I'm uncomfortable in my own body because I'm also the Hulk, and so I can't be too near anything or anyone. And I'm sure like he was already kind of like that before the Hulk, but now it's a bigger problem. I kind of liked that was kind of built up in this film a little bit because he hasn't been Banner in so long.
Right. There is also something really cool about his he's constantly afraid of seeing something or bumping into something or whatever that will trigger him.
Right.
Right. But that constant anxiety makes him like closer to being on the edge of hulking out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so interesting like, you're trying to avoid hulking out, but in the process of doing that, you're heightened and you're one step closer to doing it.
Right. It's interesting too, that like, you know, by the, in Avengers, like he's kind of nervous about it, but like his trick is that he's always slightly angry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so he can mm-hmm. kind of temper it and control it that way. But because he hasn't been Banner in so long, he's almost like lost that.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, he's almost lost that ability. So in some ways he's regressed, you know, in his relationship with the Hulk.
Yep.
And so was he still the Hulk at the very end of the film?
Oh, end of this film?
Yeah.
I believe he was.
Okay, because he said, you know, like, if I turn back into the Hulk, I'll never be Banner again.
Yeah.
And so after he crashes into the bridge, which was hysterical, then we don't see him as Banner again after that,
I don't
right?
think we do after that. Mm. I mean, I think he will be Banner again at some point, obviously. Sure. He was just afraid that he might never be Banner again, and he didn't want to risk it.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I don't think he knows. He can't know that for sure, right? There's no way he can know that for sure, but
right.
but he's so afraid of it, he didn't want to risk it, so he was like trying to, he wants to stay himself. He hasn't been himself in 2 years. Can you imagine losing 2 years of your life and right. just not knowing like what happened in those 2 years?
Crazy.
Completely gone. It's traumatizing to wake up from that. It's like being in a coma.
Yeah.
You wake up from it and someone's like, oh, you're out for 2 years. Like, that's traumatizing.
Yeah, and where am I? Oh, I'm on
another planet.
Like, Thor's reaction is that it's cool. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Now you've been on two.
Right. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah. I like his, like, I don't even like Banner. Blah. And then he's like, I don't even like the Hulk. Yeah. Like, whatever.
when he's like, but Bruce Banner's like useful too. Is he though? I have 7 PhDs.
I haven't really seen many people talk about this, but Hulk's like post gladiatorial design with like the rags and the beads and everything is directly from Ultimate Hulk versus Ultimate Wolverine.
Oh,
where
okay.
he pulls Wolverine in half. There's that famous image where he
pulled,
that's his outfit, which nobody seems to have picked up on except for me. Like, it's just this little like, oh, Hulk's a little tribal, and this is like he looks tribal in this comic.
I haven't read it, so I did not realize that.
Yeah, so if you
that's
go
a good pull.
If you yeah, so don't look at the cover necessarily. So just do a Google image,
I'll do that. Yeah, I'll throw this in the show notes when I find it here.
Let's move on. While you do that, let's move on from the Hulk.
Want to talk about Hela?
Let's talk about Hela and Scourge.
Yeah.
So Scourge is purely there for Hela to have somebody to talk to.
Right.
See, told you.
You're
like even like the beads and everything
that.
It's like it's exactly. I think even the colors are the same.
Yeah, it's very very close. It's very, if not exactly the same. Like, oh, Damon Lindelof. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's very very close. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it.
Why is nobody talking about this?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Anyway, so we're going to be the ones to get it out there.
Yes, we will.
So Hela continues Marvel's trend of having interesting villains. I think recently.
Yeah.
The Vulture was great. Hela was great. Baron Zemo was an interesting film, or just Zemo, I guess, in Civil War. You know, there have been some they're very rarely bad villains. They're just kind of forgettable.
Sure.
In most ways, but I really liked Hela.
I did too.
Also because she's Marvel's first female villain.
That is true, isn't it?
She's the MCU's first female villain.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I was trying to not be super over the top, like informed about this movie.
Oh, sure.
On purpose.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing the whole like avoiding everything, avoiding trailers. I didn't go that far, but I wasn't super on top of the news.
Okay.
Like I normally am for these movies. And so I didn't even necessarily look at who was going to be in it or who was cast. So like,
oh, wow.
I knew Hulk was in it. Right, you couldn't avoid that from the trailers. And by the way, I wish I hadn't known, because that reveal would be so, so great.
You know, I said that to the people I was with.
Friend from work joke would be so 10 times funnier if I was seeing it for the first time in the movie.
I completely agree. The Hulk reveal, the buildup to that reveal in the film would be amazing if you didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, yeah. So I did know that, but I didn't know that Doctor Strange would be in it. I didn't know some of these other things.
Oh, sure.
But... so I didn't realize that was Cate Blanchett. I didn't recognize her in the trailers.
Oh, really?
The dark hair and everything, she looked different enough that I didn't realize it was her. I was like, who is that? Why does that face look familiar? But I couldn't place it.
Mm.
So, and I didn't really realize it until the end credits were scrolling.
Oh, wow.
Because she looked that different to me. And I was so, because I was watching her so closely, trying to figure out who the hell is this woman? Why can't I, why do I know her, but I can't figure out, why can't I place her? I was so captivated by her the entire movie.
Oh, wow, that's great.
She was freaking fantastic. I almost swore just now. She's freaking fantastic. I was blown away by her. And I know she's a great actress. I've always known she's a great actress. I've always enjoyed her work.
Yep.
But because I spent the whole thing, like, it was almost like, I don't know, because I spent the whole movie trying to figure out who she was and why I knew her, I was that much more captivated by her. And she was, I think, one of the best Marvel villains to date. I think it's like her and Loki are my favorite villains.
You know, it's funny, for Thor having somewhat like waning films, he comes out with two of the most memorable villains in the MCU. Because Loki, you have Loki and now Hela, who I think is, you know, of course, Malekith the Accursed.
Malekith was fine. Malekith was fine.
He's definitely he's one of the weakest villains of the franchise.
Whole 17 films.
Yeah, and but she's one of the strongest. She's her motivation is clear and interesting. She's kind of racist in her own way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like she's almost like this weird Hitler character.
Yeah, she's
supremacist kind of, you know, like Asgardians are the best and we used to rule and we need to rule again.
Right.
People seemed very surprised by, you know, the reveal that, you know, Odin wasn't on the up and up. And I was not surprised by that at all. I didn't realize that was something we were supposed to be surprised about.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe because Odin's in Norse mythology and in the comics, he's really not on the up and up. Sometimes he is. Most of the time, he's not. He's kind of like Zeus that way. Like,
oh, sure.
You know, if the only version of Zeus you ever know is Disney's Hercules, then yeah, you'd be super shocked that Zeus isn't a great god. But guess what? Most of the time, he wasn't.
Right.
And Odin's also kind of that way.
Okay, I didn't realize that actually about Odin, like in mythology.
No, Odin is actually one of the most consistent characters in all of Marvel's franchise, in the MCU, because his entire shtick is covering it up.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah, he is constantly covering things up.
Seeing
he's covering
a problem,
up.
Covering it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all of the problems from these films come from
Odin covering things
up.
That's so true.
Yeah, wow. Or his father covering it up.
Yeah.
Or you know, his because Bor, his father, is the one with the dark elves. You know, like
right.
It's all literally about covering it up.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's his whole deal. And so
Loki being a frost giant,
Hela existing, and Asgard conquering basically like a Roman Empire esque,
yes.
You know, like the Nine Realms are conquered because Asgard conquered them. They exist in the world tree because Asgard made it so.
Right. He was like an emperor who took it by force and then
right.
And then became a fair and just ruler afterwards.
Right,
but
after he took it all by force, after Hela went a little too hardcore for him.
Right, right.
But I even like that, you know, like they kind of made, I mean, it's all Jack Kirby designed, and so like of course it has like a common aesthetic flow.
Sure.
But like I liked the mural on the wall with her headgear matching in with his headgear.
Yes, that was cool.
It was very cool. And how I also like that they don't shy away from that, like, Hela's Thor's sister, let's get a move on.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I love that they didn't make that a big reveal. I know that Taika Waititi said, like, well, we figured, you know, we couldn't do the Luke, I am your father. We couldn't do better than that, so why even bother trying? Let's just get it out of the way.
Sure.
Which I so respect and so agree with.
Yeah.
It would be very tempting to make that the big reveal of the movie or one of them, but it wasn't necessary.
It's unnecessary, and it's not necessarily needed or earned. Like, why would that have to be a secret?
It was better for that to be out in the open from the start.
Agreed.
Better story that way.
In real Norse mythology, Hela is Loki's daughter. Some of my friends kind of like walked down and be like, why'd they change Hela's origin?
Oh, interesting.
And I don't disagree with the change at all, because I feel like keeping her Loki's daughter makes it much more complicated. This, like, kept it a secret, hid her away, and my death is the only thing keeping her at bay. That's much more interesting to me than, oh, I had a secret daughter and she's the ruler of hell. You know, that realm should have heard of. I'm much more interested in this version.
I'm with you. I find that this much more interesting. It was a good decision, a good choice, and well told. Story was well told in that way. So I loved this movie. I think this was a great movie. Did Doctor Strange come out this year or last year? I can't remember right now.
November of last year.
Was it? Okay. So
it was this time last year.
This time last year. Got it. Yeah. Okay. So that the scenes of Doctor Strange, which were great, by the way, those, I guess, were shot with the Doctor Strange movie.
Yes, that's correct. Because some of the stuff that we saw in this film was the end tag scene.
Yes. Yeah, with the beer and everything.
Right.
So those were directed by Taika.
Yes, that's correct.
But then he actually, usually, for people who don't know, the end tag, like the post-credit scenes and everything, are filmed by the director of the next movie, typically.
That's right, except for this one.
Except this time, Taika actually directed the end tag there, which showed, spoiler alert, people don't want to know, but that big ship that was looming over the Asgardians is...
Thanos' ship. It's pretty obvious. Like
I think so.
You see basically a version of it in the first Guardians film.
It's pretty obvious what it is.
It's obviously his... It's obviously his ship.
He's not floating around on an asteroid anymore.
It would take forever to cross the galaxy in that chair. Forever.
Doesn't even have a warp drive or anything.
No.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited for Infinity War is next, right?
Infinity War is next. Yes, yeah. That is correct. Because they're filming the second part of Infinity. They're filming Avengers 4, technically, right now.
Yeah.
Because it's Infinity War, and then 3 films, and then the other Infinity War.
There's 3 films in between.
I think so.
Wow.
I think so.
Wow, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think so, Brian. Yeah.
I think so, Brian. What was the name of Taika Waititi's character, the big...
Korg,
who called himself a thing at one point, which I was like, that's because he looks like the thing.
Korg is a character from Planet Hulk.
Yep.
And there's a version of that alien in Thor the Dark World.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Thor smashes him with one hit with a hammer and turns into a pile of rocks.
Got it. Okay. He very much reminded me of Taika Waititi's character in What We Do in the Shadows.
A little bit. I guess that kind of like sheepish type,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I can kind of see that. Actually, What We Do in the Shadows, good bit. So that scene with the Valkyrie and Hela, all that stuff. So that's a new technology, the way that they filmed that scene, which is why it looks like a giant like Renaissance painting, I guess.
Ah.
Kind of in it, like it was gorgeous. It was like unbelievable.
It reminded me of the Wonder Woman sequence.
Slightly. Yeah. That technology for that scene was developed by Stu from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, no kidding.
Because they only brought him in, the IT guy from the film, they only brought him into the film because he was like popular amongst the crew, and that's how he got into the film.
That's so cool.
And so he's back, like just actually doing his real job, and he is part of the team that created that tech that they use.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good tidbit.
You're welcome.
You're full of them.
Yep. Going back, what were we saying right before? Oh, Korg. I loved his bit like, oh, try to start a revolution, but didn't hand out enough pamphlets, not enough people came. Yeah, like,
so good.
That's great.
Oh my god, that's one of my favorite. Like he had some of my favorite gags in the whole film.
He undercut. I loved the way that this film basically undercut anything that would be like the emotion. I guess what could be a highly emotional scene. He was kind of be like that. Well, as long as the foundations are okay, it should be, you know, we can rebuild.
Any other movie, it would have been like, yes, Asgard will be a symbol one day, and we will rebuild it, and it will be a wonderful paradise one day. Once again, just, nope, never mind, we're not doing that.
Oh,
nope.
Man, it was great. But I even loved Sulter in that way that, like, everyone is like not even paying attention, and he's like coming in like, I will destroy you, and he's like swinging wildly and all this stuff. And in any other movie, they'd be like, oh, we got to fight him and like send the Hulk and all that, and they're like, no, like just let him look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like Clancy Brown swinging his sword.
By the way, that was another one where I was like, why does this voice sound so familiar? And then I saw Clancy Brown.
Clancy
and I was
Brown.
Like, of course that's right.
Lex Luthor / Mr. Krabs.
Yes. Any other movie would have been like, it's called Thor Ragnarok. It's about Thor stopping Ragnarok. But no.
No, but I think, but he, that's,
but that's integral to the movie.
That's one integral to the movie, but I didn't expect them to actually get as big and in some ways dark as that, considering, yeah. You know, I was really, and that was a concern for me because Ragnarok is a big deal. I love Norse mythology, yeah. And I love Thor. So Ragnarok is a big deal. It's literally the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Everyone dies. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Thor, Odin, Baldur, Fen, like they all die. Well, maybe Baldur isn't Baldur's the only one that lives, actually. I should correct myself. Who's not in the Thor films at all. It's right. another, it's the Thor's real brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really concerned that they were going to kind of like stop Ragnarok or whatever. And like none of that would come to pass. So I love that they did destroy Asgard. It did come to pass and they had to let it happen. That was great. That was great to me. I loved it.
I think that was great.
I also loved some of the digs, not digs necessarily at Norse mythology, but some like slight references.
Okay.
Because I think the little bit where like, oh, this one time, like Loki turned himself into a snake because he knows I love snakes, and I picked him up and then he came out and he went, boo, and he stabbed me. Ah, good times. So, like, I think I'm almost positive that's a real Norse myth.
Cool.
Like, because why not? That's what Loki does. He's a trickster, so
well,
he's not evil. He's a trickster.
I was surprised to find... Yeah, that's true, yes. God of Mischief, after all. I was surprised to find out that that's an actual thing from Thor like comics, because you and I were just watching a few minutes ago Mr. Sunday Movies on YouTube.
Yep.
Easter eggs video coming out of this, which, by the way, if you don't follow Mr. Sunday Movies on YouTube, very much well worth...
Do yourself a favor.
Subscribing, yeah. Do yourself a favor and follow. I'm gonna put this his most recent video in the show notes for this episode. But really, really worth watching and worth subscribing in general. But he covers a whole bunch of little.
This is where arrows and yellow text comes from with the YouTube breakdown videos.
Yes,
he's the original.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
it's so good.
But he covers a lot of the things like, hey, did you know this came from comics and this came from comics, and did you know that this was a reference to one of the old movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's worth checking that out. You have any final thoughts? We're a little over time here, but I would like to...
We didn't really talk about Loki or Scourge at all.
That is true.
Or the death of Odin, really. Or the emotional... Or Valkyrie.
I think it was a miss that they didn't use Rite of the Valkyries at all. That made me sad.
Miss.
Yeah.
Although Immigrant Song was great. Used it twice.
So nice they used it twice.
Mm-hmm. Expensive. As Tyka said in an interview, he was like, well, we paid a lot of money for it, so we're going to use it as much as we can.
I feel like you should also check out, if you like podcasts, you should check out
Empire Magazine's podcast with his interview with Tyka, their interview with Tyka Waititi.
Very, very good listen. Mm-hmm. Very, very good listen. I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Wonderful. So I agree with that. I liked Valkyrie's character very much.
Yes.
Scourge, like I said, was there for Hela.
Yep.
His story was, in some ways, very obvious, which was fine. I think Carl Urban did a great job with what he was given, because
yes.
Carl Urban's a great actor.
I didn't know he was in this either. That's another one where I was like, oh, wait, what's he doing here?
I thought he was great. Actually, him even with the guns is a comic thing. That's why they're there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a Walter Simonson thing. And all of that was... I guess I enjoyed him because it was Carl Urban, but I like don't ever care to see that character again. It doesn't really matter to me. He's kind of a sleaze. And
he was, yeah, he wasn't super interesting.
No, and I mean, like, he learns his lesson at the end and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
he
uses his weapons for good.
Yeah, but I don't need to, it's fine. And, Heimdall's back, baby.
Yeah.
He was great. Idris Elba's always great.
It's kind of amazing that Idris Elba is still in these movies. He's kind of too big for that role now. He's a bigger star now than he was.
I agree.
You know?
He didn't really even want to come back for...
The second
Dark
one?
World.
Really?
I don't think so, because he was big then.
By then he was, yes.
So I'm impressed that they keep kind of bringing him back, even for limited chunks of time.
I guess they must be paying him well. I don't know.
Yes. It's nice to see him, though, because I like Heimdall, and I really like what he just did with that character. The Warriors 3 dismissed rather quickly.
Well, that was mainly, I think, so that Zachary Levi could go be
Shazam.
Go be Shazam, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, because the timeline totally matches up with that. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
I'm kidding.
I know. I actually really like how quickly they were. How they were dispatched.
That was another kind of undercut thing. We're like, you expect this to be a epic battle to the death, but it's like, no, shit.
Well, it proves how dangerous she is.
Exactly. Like, it quickly tells us.
This is a dumb thing, but I like how, like, all of her swords or blades or whatever coming out of her, there was no, like, flash effect, I guess, or, like, no, like, super cool CG, like, look at it form off of her shoulder or whatever. It was just like, boom.
Yeah.
Like, almost like you're a kid and you're, like, not thinking about how it's done.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
an old
yeah.
cartoon or yes. whatever. They were just like, here we go. Coming out of nowhere. Doesn't matter. You know, doesn't matter.
Don't overthink it. Just
don't overthink it. That's exactly what this movie is. Don't overthink it and you will enjoy yourself. But when you do think hardly, strongly about it, it holds together.
Right.
Sign of a good film.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think we could do much more on this film, but it's 45 minutes. So maybe when it comes out again, we'll rewatch it and then revisit.
That'd be great. Yeah, yeah. When it comes out on home video.
Yes, indeed.
Digital and all that. Cool. Well, you can find us on the internet at all the places Tim is about to tell you about.
At Beer with Geeks on Twitter, Gmail, and Facebook. You are also more than welcome to go to thoughtbubbleaudio.com and check out all of our Thought Bubble Audio shows. You can head over to patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio and check out all the Patreon donations and goodies you can help us out with there. You can also rate and review us on iTunes and find us all other places such as Satchel and Overcast and
Stitcher, I guess.
Stitcher, that's the one I wanted. Stitcher, very good. And all of the places that podcasts may be found.
But anywhere
as
podcast.
The metric show, most of you are using Apple Podcasts,
yeah.
As am I. So there's no reason for all of you not to go on to iTunes and rate us because that's where you're listening. The end.
Unless you're driving,
don't pull over on a bridge. Our usual saying.
The usual warning.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up, Frank.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I had a hella good time talking about a hella good movie about hella with you.
Well done. Thanks. Do you like that he has one eye now?
Oh, yeah. I think that was kind of cool. I was sort of like, are they doing this? Are we really? Or is he going to, like,
yeah.
get it back by the end or something?
They did it.
They
went
there.
I love it.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. They did it.
He became his dad.
It. Yeah. They even tricked the Comic-Con people because...
Right, because in the Infinity War teaser,
yep.
he had two eyes.
He had two eyes. Yeah. That's very impressive.
That's commitment.
That kind of foresight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. I love it.
It's hard to see into the future
he's
that well
because
with
he's
only
becoming
one.
His father.
Right.
Which I also really like because older Thor really does become his father.
I would love for the MCU to go on so long that, like, without a reboot, that, like, sure, maybe Chris Hemsworth isn't in the movies anymore, and, like, all the, you know, all these Robert Downey Jr., all these guys don't appear in the movies anymore, and there's a new generation or whatever. But I would love there to be, like, 5 years from now or something, like, a reunion type of thing where they start folding these characters back in, and we see old Thor, who's basically become Odin. I would love to see that happen.
Sure. I mean, like, he's thousands of years old, so I don't think you'd see him progress that far.
I don't mean only 5 years, but I mean, yeah. like, you know. 5 years from now in our time, but in the movie
sure.
time, it'd be longer.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I think it'd be cool.
It's very cool. I have so much more to say, but we're 47 minutes in-ish, so we'll call it a day.
All right, well, then, until next time.
Cheers.